Book of Ezekiel. We're in chapter 34. Moving right along. I got to be honest with you. Some of the chapters in the Book of Ezekiel were a little bit repetitious and everything, but they're still good to know. All the Word of God's wonderful, you know. But I do look forward to getting into from chapter 38 to chapter 40, because that's where it gets really exciting to me, you know, because it talks about where we are right now and talks about the future to come. And so I look forward to that. But tonight we're going to be looking at chapter 34, beginning of verse 1, and we're going to go to verse 10. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became a food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherd fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, and they may no longer be food for them. Diane, would you ask the blessing upon this word tonight? You know, I look at this and I can't help but think about the admission that James, the brother of the Lord, gave, where he said, don't be very many teachers among you, seeing they're going to receive a greater condemnation, a deeper scrutiny, in other words, because you have a responsibility, if you are a teacher of the Word of God, to teach the truth. And Paul told young Timothy, he said, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. In other words, and it said, told him that he was to, you know, fulfill the gift that God had given him. You know, too many ministers approach ministry as though it was just an occupation. And it's more than that. It's a calling. And the desire should be to feed the flock and to make sure that they are drawing closer to the Lord and that their spiritual needs are met. We all have spiritual needs. And just because there's something that you can't see with your eyes doesn't mean that there's not a need there. There's always going to be a need that other people can't see. You know, people are expert at putting on a facade, aren't they? And looking like they're okay. But underneath, they may be hurting, and they may need to be fed. They may need to be healed, their wounds bounded up. And so these are things that I believe those who are called to shepherd the flock need to be sensitive of. And in this particular case, he's talking about kings and the officers in the government and referring to them as shepherds. But the thing about the Jewish religion is that the religion was the government. So it's talking about the religious leaders here. And so I want to give you a few scriptures that kind of clarify that fact. As we look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 7 through 8, it says, Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, I have never spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be the ruler over my people, over Israel. And again, I want to bring you back, and I want to point out what it says here. It says that I've never spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel. In other words, God didn't require anybody to make him a house. And so he's speaking of David here. David was a shepherd king. And he serves an example of what true leadership is. In Psalm chapter 78, verse 70 through 72, it says, He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherds them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. It's been said that integrity is something that people do when others aren't looking, you know, and I think that's true. Isaiah 56, verse 10 through 11 says, Its watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping and lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which have never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone to his own gain from his own territory. And again, this is a reference to these religious political leaders in the relationship to the people of Israel. Here he refers to them as watchmen and blind dogs, and that they're literally ignorant. We find another reference to this in Isaiah 63, verse 6, 11 through 13, when it says, Then he remembered the days of old, and Moses and his people, saying, Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, divided the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the deep as horsemen in the wilderness, that they might not stumble? And so here we see another reference to the shepherding of God's people by the leadership. And it was the leadership's responsibility, again, to protect and care for the people. And these selfish leaders had abused, they'd exploited the people. They became wealthy, they became rich, but they did not feed the people with the Word of God. And they only thought about themselves. Sound familiar? I think, like, for example, some of the pastors on television, especially the prosperity pastors, become wealthy. But they're not sharing the Word of God, man. They're just, I mean, the people are starving. And it's like, I see this big mega church in Texas, and if what he shares in his church congregation is any indication of what he shares on the air, these people got to be starving to death, because it's a fast food gospel. Which even really is not even a gospel. It's people. Bible says in the last days will heap to themselves teachings who have itching ears, will tell them the things that they want to hear, not necessarily the things that they need to hear. And we all need to hear that we're sinners. That we're lost sinners. That we are in need of a Savior, and that only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that we are complete in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's not about feel-goodism. It's not about how much money you earn and how you prosper. Now, the Jewish people, they thought that prosperity was a sign of God's blessing and favor. But obviously they missed it when it came to salvation. So we see the leaders, they take from the people, but they don't give them something in return. Again, that something in return should have been the food, the Word of God. But instead, they simply exploited them. And we're told in the book of 1 Peter about the last days, where how he said that there'll be those who will make merchandise of you. Okay, and that's exactly what we see in our day. The word exploit simply means to use someone for your own advantage. So true leaders don't exploit their people. Matter of fact, true leaders sacrifice for the people. Jesus set the example as the good shepherd. He set the example by laying down his life for the flock. In John 10, verse 11 through 13, it says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I was just sharing with somebody the other day how that one morning after church service, I went to the back of the, people were getting ready to leave, getting in their cars and go home and what have you. And I went back into the multipurpose room and somebody came in and they said, Pastor Carey, there's some Jehovah's Witnesses out there trying to witness to the people as you're getting in the cars. I went out there and confronted them. And the reason I did that was not because I'm a busybody, but because I am a pastor, a shepherd of this church. And I care about the flock, and I don't want them to be deceived. And, of course, I confronted them. There were a couple of ladies. And so, I, as I've said before, when you're dealing with cults and things like that, when they start asking you a question, wanting you to answer, the way you answer them is with a question, and it derails them because they got all this rehearsed, you see. And so you always bring them back to what is thus says the Lord. Now, I mean, I wasn't trying to be mean or cruel to them because they need the Lord as well. But it was important for them not to be able to spew their venom, which is exactly what it is, this poison, you know, to the people that were here, especially those who were young in the Lord. And I couldn't help but think about the brazen gall that they had to do that right there as people are coming out of the church. And I, you know, can't help but think, well, maybe we should just go over there to the Kingdom Hall and begin to share the gospel message with people. I wonder how they like that. But don't render evil for evil. We should be giving the message to them in the workplace, wherever we find people. And so Jesus set the example for us, caring for the people, willing to give your life for them to make sure they aren't attacked by the wolf, by the enemy. Look at these shepherds in contrast to Jesus. They were those who were merely the hired help, who had no personal concern for the sheep except as a source of work and therefore an income. Again, this teaching about hirelings didn't just arrive on the scene with Jesus. It had already been known by those who were familiar with the Old Testament as this is written. This chapter contrasts irresponsible shepherds with the one true shepherd, which is God himself. Again, the bad responsible or false shepherds represent these leaders, in particular the religious leaders, who fail to fulfill their duties toward God's flock, even though they know what the duties are. And again, this is true, you know, whether you're thinking of Israel, or we think of Judah, or those in exile, and those after the exile, or even in Jesus' day when the people of Israel were scattered like sheep who had no shepherd. And we find that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 36, it says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And it says, And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherds. And so they should have had people who were feeding them the word, teachers who were feeding them word, but they did not. This again applies to the church. At any stage of church history, this should apply. And again, I want us to consider the physical and the spiritual application here. Again, you consider the complaints against these shepherds. They fed themselves instead of the flock. Physical needs of people were neglected. In other words, they saw to it that their needs were met, but not the people. But again, also the spiritual. They were the spiritual food that that God desired for them to give the people, that they would draw close to Him, was commanded in the Word of God. In the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And this was the time in which the Word of God was, it was watered down or not even used at all. I think that they got more into the oral traditions of the law and of the religion rather than what the Word of God had to say. And I think the same is true today, where many pastors have gotten into philosophies and modern ideas instead of what is, thus says the Lord. Isaiah, he kind of gives another picture of them in Isaiah 56 and 11. "Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. They are shepherds who cannot understand." You see, just because you have a degree that says that you went to Bible school or seminary, just because you wear a collar that's on backwards and things like that, doesn't mean that you're even born again. There's a lot of people who fill the pulpits that don't understand the Word of God. It says they look to their own way, everyone for his own gain and from his own territory. Again, if those entrusted with preaching God's Word lack understanding to preach God's Word, and they view their responsibility as just a means of income rather than the appointment from God, or they get caught up in the politics of church life and they neglect personally the ministry of the saints and the caring for the souls entrusted to them, then they're filling not only their selves but the souls of those people, but they are also failing God Himself, because God identifies Himself with His people. It's one of the reasons why when He knocked Paul to the ground, He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And I think the same thing will be asked of those who stand before Him. "Why didn't you feed me? Why didn't you feed my people?" Again, the second complaint, that they failed to care for the weak and the sickly, and that they have not sought those who were lost. And I think that every true church should have ministry that is concerned with the lost outside the four walls. And this is one of the reasons why we've gotten involved with the missions and why we try to do different outreaches. These are literally like those elders that Peter wrote about, who sought to be the Lord, to be lords over God's flock, rather than to be a true good shepherd over those entrusted to them. 1 Peter 5:1-4 says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly." In other words, don't be doing it with people dragging you by the heels to get you to do it. Do it willingly. And then it says, "Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lord over those entrusted to you." And there's a lot of people who have pastors who will say, "You can't do this and you can't do that." That's not our call. Our call is to simply share the Word of God and be an example. Because it goes on to say, "But being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Brother Horton just tell a story about a couple that were in a church where the pastor told them what they could drink for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Talk to them about every aspect of their life, even down to their marital relationship, what they could do and what they couldn't do, and so on. And these people were messed up. They were confused. They certainly were not being fed by a true shepherd. There's a lot of people out there who are very controlling, you know. And listen, if I ever get to the place where I try to control you, and tell you what to do, That's the time to leave the church. It is God you need to follow. Yeah. I can only give you what His Word has to say. And again, it is His Word that we must obey. Thirdly, the consequences of these shepherds, they are going to be stand before the king and they're going to be judged. And one of the reasons, again, will be because that the sheep were scattered. And they were like those who have no shepherd. I can't help but think about people that I have known in certain churches who went to those churches, but because they didn't get fed and because they didn't understand the gospel message, they left and they're no longer in church and they're not serving God. And I think that's such a sad commentary. Bad testimony, certainly, for the pastor. Jeremiah 10, verse 21 offers this insight. It says, "For the shepherds have become dull-hearted. They have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered." And I think that speaks in general, not only the nation of Israel, but all of God's people, you know, and all of God's churches, too. I believe that's something that is applicable. When you have a shepherd who has become dull-hearted, in other words, no longer is moved by the things of God, and they no longer seek the Lord, you're not going to prosper. The whole church is not going to prosper. And the flock will ultimately be scattered. How often have you heard of church troubles and churches that have closed their doors because of this very reason? There's a church that stands over there in McKinleyville. It's a pretty good-sized church. But from the outside, it's dilapidated. And I remember back in the 70s, it was a thriving church. A lot of people went to that church. I don't even think anybody goes to it now, but I may be wrong. But a lot of it was is because when the people ran the pastor off, and they didn't replace the pastor. And they started having people who in there who wanted to run the show, you know, and they had the lay people there. Now, while there's nothing wrong with having lay people teach and preach and what have you, that's not God's design. God appointed pastors, some teachers, some pastors, some prophets, and so on for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, so that we would no more be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And so when you start turning away from the Word of God and doing your own thing, you actually become like the church of Laodicea. Laodicea, the very word Laodicea means Leo, which means the laity, and Dicea means leadership. In other words, when the people rule. When the people rule, it's not God that's ruling over them. God's design is that He rule over His people, and that He has His under-shepherds over them, even though He is equal to them. That's God's design. And when we depart from that, then we put ourselves in perilous circumstances to be deceived. So again, the indictment against these lazy shepherds, false prophets, and gluttonous priests, and the careless overseers, the sham ministries and ministers, everything that they did cried out for a punishment to fit the crime. And again, that's one of the reasons that we see this here in verse 10, where it says, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, and they shall no longer be food for them." Jeremiah 23, 1 and 2 says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord." I know there was a man that used to be on television that would he was another one of these prosperity preachers, and I can't remember his name, but he had quite a following. And then come to find out that people who were sending prayer requests to him, well, immediately those prayer requests were thrown out into the dumpster, and after they had removed all the money and everything that came to him, and he lived like a king. Well, a report was done on this guy, and he was exposed. And his ministry did not last long. Did not last long at all. He still tries to do stuff, but it's not going anywhere because he was exposed. You see, what that does, though, is it brings a reproach upon the Lord. And that's the tragedy of all that. And one day people will have to stand for, in judgment of that. Verses 11 and 12 says, "Thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is amongst his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day." And again, so what we see here in contrast is the good shepherd, the Lord himself. And we see him as the one who seeks out the lost sheep. And of course, we're all familiar with the parables and things that deal with this. Matthew 18, verse 11 through 13. "For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray? Does he not leave the 99 and go to the mount to seek that one that's straying? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray." Jeremiah 50 and 6, it says, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." Well, this was the case with the people of Israel because they had not been taught the Word of God. And Jesus, whenever he's teaching his disciples, when he sent his disciples out, they were to go, first of all, to the lost sheep of Israel. That's what God referred to them as. In Matthew 10, verse 5 through 8, it says, "The 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, nor do not enter into the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do all the things that have been neglected by the religious leaders," in other words. So Jesus makes it clear that his ministry is to the lost sheep of Israel. Even Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28, "And Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." This is a Gentile woman. "And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us." Kind of heartless, you know. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen here. Don't think for a second he didn't know what was going to happen. This is to be an illustration for not only us, but his own disciples. "And then he answered, he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." And in this we see the compassion of the Lord. And the Lord himself, I believe, put it within the heart of this woman to say these words in the hearing of his disciples. "But he answered, he said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And listen to what he said about this woman, though. "And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour." You see, when the Gentiles came to him and demonstrated faith, he said, "I've not even seen so great a faith in all of Israel." So I believe all this happened to be a type and a shadow of what Jesus would ultimately do with the Gentiles. And make no mistake about it, Gentiles are his sheep as well. And he said as much. In John chapter 10, verse 14 through 18, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. In other words, who are not of the Jewish fold. Them I also must bring, and they hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. If you read the book of Ephesians, he's made one of two. He brought them together and made them one. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down to myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command have I received from my Father. So this was not only for that flock of the Jewish people. God is not done with the Jewish people. They are his sheep. Initially, Jesus only came to the lost sheep of Israel. But it makes it clear that he has other sheep as well. He delivers us from the lion's mouth and from the wolves. And he paid the greatest price to defeat our greatest enemy. And that greatest enemy is death. But in his death, he overcame death, and the last of all of our enemies to be defeated, again, is death. And he gives life to his sheep. Anybody say amen to that? Verse 13 to 15, it says, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. And in the mountains and in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. And they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture in the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. Again, we get the picture of sheep feeding, but again, I really believe that this is an allegorical reference to us gaining knowledge and understanding of his word. He gathers them from the nation and feeds them on the mountains of Israel. And again, this reaches beyond the physical restoration of the land. And it's talking about the fact that God is going to gather out of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue a people and teach them his ways. And we'll see that in just a moment. But in Revelation 14, verse 6 through 7, it says, and then I saw an angel flying in the midst of the heaven, and having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. There's nobody excluded, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and earth, and the sea and springs of water. Okay, now Jeremiah 31, verse 10 through 14 is what I was alluding to earlier. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Therefore, they shall come, and they shall sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, and I will turn their mourning to joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. What a day that will be. Amen. He will give rest to all and make them to lie down in green pastures. And then God's people will truly find a true repose in his presence. And we will not be burdened by the yoke that he has put upon us. Even our physical death would just represent nothing more than a rest from our labors when we reach that time. Are there any questions or any thoughts? I think I'm going to stop right there for tonight, because I don't want to overload you. But again, clearly, we see the references here are for the religious leaders and their neglect of teaching the Word of God, but it also is referencing the coming shepherd who will feed people. And he will reward those who have done what he has called them to do. Like it says, those who, in the book of 1 Peter, they'll receive a crown of righteousness that will not fade away. And so God rewards his people for fulfilling his will and his purpose. Any questions or thoughts?